Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
Let's pray and jump into today's word. Father, we want to thank you for being just you, God. There is none like you, Lord, and you let us into your world today. And every day, God, that we are alive on planet Earth, we have full access to everything you are and everything you want to do for us in our lives and everything you want us to do for your kingdom on earth, God. And Lord, we're just so thankful to call you our Lord and our Savior and our friend, our God, our everything, God, this morning, Lord. And we worship you in truth and spirit. In Jesus' name, say amen. 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 All right, today we're starting a brand new series called The Kingdom of God. Say amen. Amen. Yes. And I have been preaching several years here and there, sprinkling it in about the kingdom of God. How many kind of noticed that every once in a while up here? Three of us, okay. And that's why I'm doing it just as one series, because I don't want you to miss it. Because understanding the kingdom of God, now there's two phrases the Word of God uses about the kingdom of God. It's called, number one, the kingdom of God, but you also hear it referred to as the kingdom of heaven. Amen? Amen. Amen. Now, they're one and the same. Now, the kingdom of God refers to God is the king, and a king, and we'll learn about this as we go through this, you can only be a king if you have a territory or land. You can't be a king and not be ruler of nothing. So the territory of the kingdom of God is the kingdom, his kingdom, which is the kingdom of heaven. And then there's the kingdom of heaven on earth as it is in heaven, as he taught us to pray. Okay? So let me forewarn you, but we just make one call it a little heads up. If you are wrapped up in a religious spirit, you're probably going to struggle through this message. Because the kingdom of God is an exact opposite of religion. They can't coexist together. That's why he was killed by religious people. Okay. So now I'm not here today to dog out any like denominations and all this stuff. Again, I'm not here to tell you I'm a religious person. I believe in Jesus. If you believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, he paid for your sins, buried, resurrected from the dead 3 days later, and you've invited him into your heart and forgave your sins, and you call him Lord and Savior, you're saved. Amen. But what's come packaged with that we've grown up in sometimes isn't 100% everything. Now, it is something, don't get me wrong, but it's not everything to the fullest for you to live in your maximum potential of God. Because religion tanks down a lot of things that God wanted to elevate. So this morning, I want to go over one big misconception that a lot of people have when you hear, because when you hear, begin to hear on kingdom, you think, well, all of a sudden, I'm kingdom. And one of the big things today, it happens to fall on a day when we're going to do a little bit of kingdom work. We're going to go across the road, and we're going to show up with other churches, and we're going to work as one for the community. And when you do something like that, people will step back and say, see, we're a kingdom church. We're all about kingdom. That doesn't make you kingdom. That does not make you a kingdom Christian or even a kingdom church. Just because you do one act that lines up with what the kingdom is and how it's supposed to be doesn't make you kingdom. It takes years to develop the kingdom of God within you. And we want to accelerate that growth here over this next series, okay? Amen? So don't believe everybody when they walk up and say, well, I'm kingdom, what do you do? Well, I work well with other churches. Whoop-de-doo. We're already supposed to be doing that. That's a kingdom work, but it doesn't make you kingdom. So I want to start off this morning with Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, and I'm only going to read part of it because in the next few weeks we're going to be going back over the rest of this. There's three parts to this verse, but I want to just cover the first one. Come on, let's everybody say, this is Jesus. Now, all the scriptures today, and here in a little bit, I'm going to run through a gauntlet of scriptures. I think I have 36 scriptures we have to go through to end this message today. Some of y'all are excited. Some of you are going, oh my gosh. See, I have till 2 o'clock till that starts. Some of you are like, hey, I'd love that. Some of you are going, oh my gosh. No, I'm not going to keep you. I'm going to try to hit a good time to let you out of here today. And I'm going to go through those. But we've got a lot of scriptures. We have a lot of notes today. So if you want to take pictures of the screen, feel free to. A lot of notes. Of course, all the notes are in all of our social media outlets, whether it's podcast, video, replay, YouTube, Facebook, all that stuff. The notes are usually attached to all of those, so you can go back. And I hope it spurns you to study on this, okay? But all the scriptures today, except for two out of the 36 scriptures we're going to be using today, is the words of Jesus. The words of Jesus Christ himself, our Lord and Savior. Amen? And the first one is, let's read it together. One, two, three, read. But seek first the kingdom of God. I could end a message right there if we all understood that. And we just all go over to the park and get started early. But we don't understand that. Seek what? First the kingdom of God. So in your mind, if your Lord and Savior, who saved your life, gave his life for you, tells you that this is the first thing you need to seek after, wouldn't it be wise if the church sought after the kingdom of God? I think it would be a wise thing to do if we sought after what he tells us to seek after. Just I don't know if it's just supernatural wisdom I have here or if it's just the duh moment, but I think it ought to be the first thing we do is seek after his kingdom. Now notice what he did not say in the scripture. He did not say, seek first some fame for yourself. He didn't say, seek first a title that you can put in front of your name or behind your name. He didn't say, seek first a religion. Come on. He didn't say, I want you to seek to be real religious with me. He didn't. He said, seek his kingdom. Seek the kingdom of God. So, now this next note may surprise many people sitting in this place today. But I want you to understand something, because this is one of the biggest problems that we have in the church today, in the American church. You ready for it? Go ahead and put it up. Jesus was not and is not an American. He's never been American, and he will never be an American. He wasn't, and he isn't going to be. God, look at your neighbor and say, he's not American. Touch your neighbor and say, he ain't from around here. He's not. And why is that such a big issue? It's a huge issue. Because, you see, we relate to Jesus Christ as an American. We know a system to grow up in and culture to grow up in that is not conducive to what Jesus was and is, which is not an American. And I think that's one of the biggest problems we have. And now again, it's a natural problem for us to have because we have been, and again, I am so thankful I'm an American. I'm proud to be an American. Okay. Absolutely so glad God birthed me in this nation for such a time as this. But I cannot filter Jesus, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and the Bible through my Americanized mindset and culture. Because in America, we don't have a kingdom. Come on. In America, we have a combination. How many thinks America is a democracy? Raise your hand. Anybody think America is a republic? Okay. We are, thank God for our founding fathers. They were definitely led of the Holy Spirit. Amen? They gave us the number one governmental structure on planet Earth outside the kingdom of God. We have democracy sprinkled in among us. We have republic sprinkled in among us that was out to give us the most freedom we could possibly ever have as individuals. Thank God for America. Amen? But real quickly, I want to give you the definition of a democracy. So let's go ahead and put up that. You're going to be thinking, why is this in a kingdom? Just stay with me. Democracy simply means the majority rules. Amen? So if the majority gets together and says, we want this, and the minority doesn't can't outvote them, then it's over for the minority. Okay? Now, and they can rule through directly or through representatives. Okay? That can happen. Okay? A republic, everybody say a republic, which is what America is partially. Go ahead and put up the next note. A republic rules by elected representatives under a constitution. Thank God we have a constitution. Anyway, I ain't got time getting that. Even though it's trying to be shredded. Ruled and elected by representatives under a constitution that limits government power. It limits, it's designed not as to limit the people's freedom, but the Constitution, our Constitution, is designed to limit government's power into our freedoms, which we haven't been doing a good job of in the last 40 years. And it's supposed to protect our rights, not government rights. Okay? So out of that, the United States, the Founding Fathers, pulled a little bit of both of those in and gave us what we call, see, basically, the United States, if you look it up, we are a constitutional republic. Which means we have a constitution that guarantees we the people's rights and the government cannot intrude on them. And we vote by, not a majority, but we vote with what's called an electoral college to where you don't have one big city that can rule everything else in its region. It's the will of the people equally distributed among the people, regardless of how many people. Okay, so go ahead and put up the note real quickly, and I'll read that to you. The official definition of the United States is a constitutional republic. It uses the democratic process, elections and votings, but it is bound by the Constitution, which prevents the majority from violating certain rights. And that's the way we growed up. Amen? Every person in here born in America, and I think there's maybe only any, I know there's one person that wasn't born in America. Anybody else not born in America? We have one person that was born in Russia. Y'all didn't know that. We have a spy among us. I was just freaked out when she told me too. Because she's got the little blonde-headed, all-American, southern girl look. I'm like, there's no way you were born in Russia. But she was. She was born in Russia. I think you moved here, when you were five or something? Moved here when she was five, and she's American now. Okay. Doing great. But see, we grew up in a constitutional republic that allows you and I a right to have a say-so in the way our government operates. You see political signs all through EVA now and all over because we're fixing to elect local officials in another year or two. We'll be electing, free will electing some of our state officials. In another 4 years, we'll be electing our governmental officials. And we get a say-so. We can show up at town meetings and voice our oppositions or our yay for this, let's do it. And we like that. Come on, amen? I personally love it, okay? Now, we have that established. So we go to God and His Word with a constitutional republic mindset. And we try to make Jesus, who is a king, fit into a constitutional republic democracy, which it don't fit. Okay, stay with me now. We're going to shift gears, everybody. Everybody hold, if you have your Bibles, hold it up. If you got it on your phone, just hold your little phone up or your tablet. Now, do you understand the value of what you hold? This is the Bible. Go ahead and put up the next note. This is not just the Bible. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God to us. Oh, don't get excited. Now, if we were to think in terms of governmental structure, now the kingdom a kingdom does not necessarily have a constitution. It will issue decrees. Whatever the king decrees, it's law. But if we wanted to put the Bible into our American system, this would be called the Constitution of the Heaven, the Kingdom of Heaven. In other words, this guarantees you your rights. If you're a citizen of heaven on earth. Okay? But we can't really put it in that construct because the kingdom of God does not have an official constitution. But we could look at it through our American eyes as this is the constitution. This is the will and the testament of the king. What he wants his citizenry to be. Amen?
Amen.
Now, the Bible, the Word of God, listen to me, it's about a king. Everybody say a king. It's about a king. Now, that may sound very simple. Well, duh, we know it's about the king. No, it's about not about just a bunch of kings. It has other kings, but it's about the King of Kings. So it's a book about what? Everybody say a king. The king. Now, because it is about a king, it is not about a constitutional republic, which is what we are. And the way we process, and the way we think, and the way we examine, and the way we emote ourselves. In a constitutional republic such as we have here in America, thank you, Jesus, for it, there is no king. There's never been a king in America.
Amen.
And that's probably a good thing.
Right.
Amen? But this is a book about a king. But when we read this book about a king, again, default nature sets in. We process it through the constitutional republic governmental system that we think is right. Therefore, we try to turn Jesus and his word into the Americanized version that we have.
Yeah.
To fit our system of cooperating and voting and process and electing and running and campaigning and having the right to get out in the middle of a field and pitch a fit or go block highways. Y'all okay? A king is not a president. A king is not a prime minister. A king is a king. It's not a, and all I've ever known in my 57 years on planet Earth is a president. Some good, some worse. But that's all I've ever known is a president, and our process of getting one, and governors and mayors and city councils. And so that's the way we're born and created to rise up and think. But it's not how we should think and process the Word of God. But unfortunately, religion takes this and puts it into whatever your governmental structure is. And that's what you get religion from. Are y'all okay so far? Now, go ahead and put up the next statement, and I'm not here to try to offend, but I want you to understand this. The Bible is about a kingdom, and if you don't understand kingdom, you cannot understand the purpose and the mission of the Bible. Does that make sense? Because this is a kingdom book given to a nation who is a constitutional republic. It's like, I can't speak Spanish good. I know a few words, but I can't carry on a conversation with you. Religion knows a few words about the Bible, but it can't carry on a kingdom conversation. Am I serious? Okay, we may have to take some pulses in here. So this morning, go ahead and put up the next note. I want us to go over seven, everybody say seven. Seven very important questions that we have to address, ask, and understand the meaning before we go into this kingdom series. Because if you don't get this out of the gate, the rest of this month's messages ain't going to make much sense to you, but keep coming. Matter of fact, bring somebody with you. So question number one, what religion was Jesus? Come on. He was a Jew. But was he Jewish? No. We're having fun. I told you this one's going to mess with you. This whole series is going to mess with that religious spirit. Question number two. What religion did Jesus join when he was on earth? Surely he would join the religion. If he was a religion, he would go ahead and join that religion, wouldn't he? It would have made sense if he would have been a part of the Sanhedrin. Or maybe he was a Pharisee. He would have joined the Pharisees or the Sadducees. Or if we put it in modern day terms, he would have joined the Baptist or the Methodist or the Assembly of God or the Church of God or the Nazarene or the First Church of Downtown. He would have joined the religious groups if he would have been religious. Question number three. Well, what religion did Jesus actually believe? Did he believe the Jewish law, the traditions of them? Now, he believed in the law and the prophets. He said, I didn't come to do away with them. I come to fulfill them and enforce them. Look at that question. What religion did Jesus believe in? We have to address this. See, our religious spirits are done raising up in this place. All right, next question. What religion did Jesus start? What religion did Jesus start? And see, you're sitting in a message, and you know what the message is, but if I just ask this on the general street to people, he'd say, he started Christians. The Christian religion. And that'd be wrong. Christianity is not a religion. Or let me say, it was never designed to be a religion. The word Christian means Christ-like or Christ-follower. So the Christian title was supposed to be given to the followers of Jesus and do what he preached and taught, which was not a religion. It never was supposed to be a religion. It was just a title that his followers in his kingdom and his family had where they followed Jesus. You would be labeled, that's one of those Christ followers. It's one of those Christians. They're just like Jesus. So what religion did Jesus start? He didn't start one. Y'all okay? Next question. What did Jesus preach and teach? Well, of course y'all know that by you're sitting in his service. But if you wasn't sitting here today, what would you say that Jesus taught and preached? Grace, love, religion, Christianity, being the church, praise God. But what did he really preach and teach? And these last two questions are my favorite. What's a disciple? You might give me the quick definition of the word disciple? Follower. Correct, follower. Let me give you the Greek definition, matateho. And matateho means this right here. Go ahead and put it up. Matateho means to be a disciple or follower of another's doctrine. Everybody say doctrine. Doctrine is nothing more than what somebody believes, lives, and teaches. Believes, lives, and teaches. Let me say again. You follow someone's what they believe, they live, and they also teach it. Not just what they believe and teach. Come on, get this. Believe and teach just means you're like sitting under a regular school teacher. A disciple mimics the person they're taught that's teaching them. Matter of fact, the definition goes on. Not only to learn, but to become attached to one's teacher and to become his follower in doctrine and conduct of his life. Doctrine, belief system, and your conduct. In other words, your actions line up with what you say you believe. Which where religion always falls short. Religion is famous for saying something and not living it. And then the last, but and the very plain one, disciple really does mean student. I'm a student of Jesus Christ. I'm not a student of Hinduism or Buddhist or Islam or anything. I'm a student of Jesus the Christ, the Son of the living God. That's why they were called Jesus' disciples. The Pharisees had disciples that sat under their teaching. The Sadducee had disciples. Caiaphas had disciples, the high priest. John the Baptist had disciples. A disciple is someone who took on the identity, character, and attributes of the teacher that was teaching them. And we are called disciples of the living God, of Jesus Christ himself, because we, the church, are supposed to have Christ's name on us, in us, to us, and through us. Amen. Now, so everybody understand that? So that's the question, and that's the answer to what is a disciple. Now, the last question, number seven, is this right here. What did Jesus, now notice what they called him in the Bible, rabbi. Rabbi means master teacher. You've heard Jesus referred to as that, a master teacher, okay? What did Jesus teach his disciples? Did he teach them First Baptist 101? Did he teach them United Methodist? Certainly not. Did he teach them Assembly of God? Did he teach them Church of God? Did he teach them the Nazarene Church? Did he teach them the Presbyterian or the Catholic Church? Did he teach them Lutheran Church? What did he teach his disciples? Of course, y'all know that. Welcome to Kingdom of God, part one. But think about, you don't know this message. Again, we would give all these different answers of religious backgrounds. Absolutely, because that's what we draw from. So now we're going to take a run through scriptures here. Okay? But how many would identify and say, I'm a disciple of Christ? My gosh, I hope there's more saved people in here than this. If not, our altar call is just for you. Now let me make sure you do understand something about the kingdom. First and foremost is, you can't get saved without becoming his disciple. If you can't say, I'm a disciple of Christ, then you don't know him as Lord. All you have is a pretense that you're saved. It doesn't matter how many times you go under the water. What matters is how much the water covered you. So in order to be truly saved, you must be, and you immediately become, a disciple, a student of Jesus Christ. Therefore, a student has to continue to learn and take on the teachings, the attributes, beliefs, and the image of the teacher, the rabbi, the professor. Many of you, how many of you can still remember your high school teachers? The ones you liked and the ones you didn't like. How many of you can probably remember the meanest teacher in your growing up? Everybody got a hand up. Yeah, I remember that old bat. Come on, I'm just saying what you thought. Or that old goat, whatever he was. How many can remember the best teacher you had? Absolutely. Why? Because you sat with them sometimes up to right at 8 hours a day. How many remember the good principal? How many remember the bad one? What do y'all think about Miss Shane? Okay, so far you're hitting good over here. He's a principal. But you remember them because they have an impact into your life and behavior. And so now we're taking it above the teacher or the mentor or the principal or the coach or the good ones and the bad ones. And now we're declaring out of our own mouth and spirit and soul, we are saved by Jesus Christ, but we don't want to be a disciple. Now here's the only place that will offer you that: religion. Religion will offer you to say you can be saved but not be a disciple. Because religion is what you want on your own terms. In other words, if I voted for it and I like it, I'll apply it to my life. If I don't like it, I'll vote against it. And even if it passes, I'm still not going to live up to it. Because I'm an American. I'm free. And we like it. Come on, I like it. But do you know you're not that free even in America? I'm free, bless God. I've bought and paid for my property, house, and everything. That belongs to me. Don't pay your taxes a couple of years and see who it belongs to. Snatched right out of your hands, ain't a thing you can do about it. Don't put the little tag on your car and let the police see you. You're going to pay for that too. You don't own nothing. You don't own nothing. Amen? You don't own your house. You don't own your vehicles. Everything you have to pay taxes on to the government, you don't own. Now, I'm living in America. I can't stand. There should never have been property taxes. I'm like, wait a minute. The mafia don't have it that good. The mafia wish they could get governmental structure. Because the government never made a piece of land, never invented it, never did nothing with that land. You move on it, you do blood, sweat, and tears, work, pay for it, build a house, have a family. But if you don't pay the government for something they never created, they come take your stuff. Our forefathers is rolling in the ground right now going, what have y'all done? We gave y'all something great. But you've got to have a kingdom mindset to understand kingdom. Now, real quickly, let me tell you real quickly, what religion was Jesus? He wasn't a religion. He never was a religious man. Now, that right there, some people, if you're listening to this 10 years later through a podcast or through YouTube or something, you just shut it off right there. Oh, Jesus was the most religious man ever on the planet Earth. No, he was never religion. What religion did Jesus join? He didn't. He didn't become a Pharisee, a Sadducee, a Sanhedrin. He didn't become the first grand cardinal, bishop, pope, or whatever. He didn't walk around with his collar backwards. And I love those guys, but anyway. What religions did Jesus believe in? Or what religion did Jesus believe? What was his doctrine? It wasn't a religious doctrine. Now, let me just make sure you understand something with Jesus. The Bible even declares Jesus, friend of sinners. Sinners love Jesus. Religious people hated Jesus. And can I tell you today, one of the reasons I've not preached this in a long time, because religious people still hate the kingdom of God message because it messes with their religious mafia. Might as well. The mafia wish they had it good as government, but the mafia also wishes it had it as good as some church denominations. Because a church denomination, almost like a governmental structure in the American government, will tell you, you build a church, you get the property, you buy the church, you build it, but you pay us X amount of dollars to be in our organization or we'll cut you out. Exactly. And some denominations will even come in and seize the property that everybody else built and say that it's ours. And they never put a dime into it. Now, some of them will put some money into it to help it get it started and stuff like that. And again, I'm not here saying that. I'm just saying we have strayed a little bit. You're going to go in and seize a church you didn't help build, and if they don't pay you enough, you go in and can seize their property and their building and tell them to get out. And it's happened before. Somewhere we got off the main message. So again, fixing to go back to, what was the main message of Jesus' teaching to his disciples, his students? Now, I'm only going to go into one book today because we don't have time to go through it all today, but we're going to touch on a lot of stuff. And there's so much scripture here I'm fixing to show you, I don't even have time to read all the whole verse. So I'm going to abbreviate just the part I want you to make sure you understand today, and I'd hope this spawns you to go back through these notes and read the context around these verses I'm fixing to read to you. Now, every verse we're fixing to read here on out, and we're going to be in the book of Matthew today. We're going through the book of Matthew today. Okay, every scripture I'm fixing to read to you and you're going to see on the screen, all but two are the exact words of Jesus Christ himself in his preaching and teaching. The one down a little bit is going to be when the disciples ask him a question about it. And the one we're going to start with is John the Baptist. What was John the Baptist? John the Baptist was the forerunner of Jesus Christ announcing to the world, the king has arrived. Okay? Now, and I ain't got time to go into this, we may go into it a little bit later on, but do you know, in the sense that we would say it, a disciple sitting under a teacher, do you know that Jesus went to John the Baptist to hook up with him? Right. So if Jesus had a pastor on earth, it was John the Baptist. Which, yeah, was his cousin. And that was God, because John was the forerunner to announce the Christ. And so what was John's message? What was John's message? What was, basically, if we could call it that, what was Jesus' pastor on earth? What was his message? So that's what we're going to start with. So the first one is not going to be the words of Jesus. Then on down, and I'll point it out to you, there's only going to be one more that was his disciples asking a question. The rest is in Jesus' own words, teaching to people, preaching to congregations, and talking to the religious people. Are you ready? Here we go. The first one, John the Baptist. What did he preach? Matthew chapter 3, verse 2. Repent. Look at that. This is John the Baptist. Repent, for the kingdom of what? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now let's just do this. Every time you see the word kingdom up, when I get there, you shout it out. Okay? Can we do that? So let's practice this. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now let's go to Jesus' words. Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He's preaching what his pastor taught him. Hallelujah. Okay? Are y'all okay? Matthew chapter 5, verse 3. Jesus says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 10. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteous sakes, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 19. Whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 5, verse 20. Unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you by no means will enter the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Many will come. Next one. Matthew chapter 8, verse 11. Many will come from the east and the west. Sit down in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 10:7. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That's instruction to us. Matthew chapter 11, verse 11. He who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Matthew 11, 12. The kingdom. I'm getting tired. The kingdom of heaven suffers violent, and the violent take it by force. Matthew chapter 12, verse 28. Surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Matthew 13, 11. To them it has not been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 13, 24. The kingdom of heaven is like a man who went out to sow a good seed in his field. Matthew 13, 31. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. Matthew 13, 33. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven. Matthew 13, 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. Matthew 13, 45. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant and seeking a beautiful pearls. Matthew, where are we at? Okay, we'll do that one too. Matthew 13, 47. The kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet. Dragnet, okay. Matthew 13, 52. Therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of the treasure things new and old. Matthew chapter 16, verse 19. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Here's the one the disciples had a question. The disciples said, who then is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Matthew chapter 8, verse 3, going back to the words of Jesus. Surely I say to you, unless you are covered and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 18, verse 4. Whoever humbles himself as a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 18, verse 23. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king. Matthew 19, 12. The kingdom of heaven, for the kingdom of heaven's sake. Matthew 19, 14. Let the children come to me and do not forbid them, for such is as the kingdom of heaven. Matthew chapter 19, verse 23. It is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 19, 24. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 20, verse 1. The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner. Matthew 21, verse 31. Tax collectors and harlots enter the kingdom of God before you. Set on that one and let that roast your real stats. Okay. Matthew 21, 43. The kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to nations bearing its fruit, the fruit of it. Matthew 22, 2. The kingdom of heaven is like a certain king. Matthew 23, 13. You shut up the kingdom of heaven against men. Matthew chapter 25, verse 1. The kingdom of heaven shall be like 10 virgins. That's just the book of Matthew. That's just in the book of Matthew. John's beginning statement, what he preached, the disciples' one question, the rest is everything Jesus Christ preached, taught himself. Can today, sitting here, can you now begin to at least get a glimpse into what Jesus was about? What would you say, based on the scriptures you've heard from the reading and read today, would you say Jesus taught his disciples? He taught them what?
Kingdom.
He taught them the kingdom. He didn't teach them religious. Again, they went against the grain of the most religious people in the world. They did never break the law and the prophets, but they broke the traditions of man. The Bible says it is through the vain traditions of man that they have stopped up the gospel of Jesus Christ. It says you make it to no, it doesn't avail anything when you get it into your own traditions. That's the Bible. Now, if we're going to be Bible-believing sons and daughters of God, should we not be a disciple of Jesus and what he taught? Are y'all okay? In Genesis, all the way to Revelations, it's about the kingdom of heaven. If you go back to Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And his kingdom was established to Adam and Eve. That was the kingdom of heaven on earth. And you're going to learn a lot about this in the upcoming weeks. Heaven was expanding its territory. The king was going to get more territory. He created more territory in a place called earth. And he made a place where heaven could be a part of earth. Matter of fact, it is known as paradise. The Garden of Eden, paradise. Why is it paradise? Because it looks just like heaven on earth, though. And what God was doing, he created a territory with landmass, and he put his kingdom from heaven on earth. It's called what we call colonization.
Right.
America started out as a colony of Great Britain. Hello. And we would still be talking like that today had we not won our freedom. The king was in England, but America was colonized to look just like England. And we lived under the rule of England. Oh, there's more coming up on that later, but I ain't got time to go into that today. So in Genesis, we had the kingdom of heaven on earth, given over to Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve lost the kingdom to the enemy when they ate the forbidden fruit. And God's kingdom became under new rulership called Satan and his demonic forces. This is yes. Sin entered the world, and we've been dealing with it ever since. So from Genesis to Revelation, it's all about a kingdom, gaining a kingdom, a colonization, a kingdom on earth, losing a kingdom while we're on earth. But that's why he sent Jesus. Jesus didn't come to establish religion back on earth. He came to establish the original commission of the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. Is that not what the Lord's Prayer says? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So the kingdom is nothing more than a kingdom gained, a kingdom lost, and a kingdom restored by the King of Kings. Can you say, yeah, that's a good place to shout and clap right there. So again, I pray that you can just begin to get a glimpse into, there is so much more to be gained, personally, corporately, worldwide, when we understand that you sitting today are sons and daughters of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you have constitutional rights guaranteed to you by a king that you can enforce while you're on planet Earth. Amen? Oh, I want to jump into next week's message so bad I can't stand it, but I'm not going to do it. We're going to talk about some more terminologies next week, and we're going to get into, it's going to go good. You're going to love this. But now, if you're stuck in religion, you're not going to like this message. Because religion lets you be comfortable. Religion, you can be comfortable. And if you get uncomfortable, you just swap religions. Swap churches, swap denominations, swap whatever you want to find something that fits your personality and your culture. In the kingdom, again, there is no swapping because there's only one king. In our government, things are put in line to protect our rights as free Americans. We get to dictate to the government if we would. In a kingdom, you don't get to dictate to the king. And when you got a king like Jesus, you don't want to dictate to him. You find out that this king is for you, not against you. You find out that this king wants you to have everything in his kingdom. And I'm going to give you a little teaser in a few weeks. Everybody's trying to get more money. Everybody say more money. We got to have more money. And churches will pray for more money and more things to do. And it's almost, you've never seen Jesus preach on prosperity. Now you see a lot of preachers preach on prosperity, but you will not find one message where Jesus preaches prosperity message. You ever thought, why didn't he preach on that, since we have to have it so much and other preachers are learning it and growing their multi-billion dollar ministries? And I'm not speaking out against them, because they'll stand before God too. Why didn't he preach on it? Because listen, in a kingdom, everybody's wealthy. And see, the only kingdoms you and I can relate to are the earthly kingdoms, where the king sets up, he eats the grapes, gets off the fat of the land, and everybody else suffers. That ain't King Jesus. In the kingdom of heaven, everybody's going to be equal. But that's over there. No, it's here. And I'll just leave you this little teaser. In the kingdom, the reason Jesus never preached on prosperity for even poor people, middle people, or rich people, he didn't preach prosperity to none of them, because in the kingdom, there's a such thing called as commonwealth. That's another concept of a kingdom. The wealth is common among the people. See, you can't fathom that because you live in America. We have capitalism here, which is a good system. Don't get me wrong. You work, you're rewarded. But in a kingdom, the king's wealth is dispersed evenly. Well, y'all ain't ready for that. I can tell. So let's stand our feet. We'll get there, though. Touch your neighbor and say, we're going to get there. Now, today has been a 30,000-foot flyover, okay? But it's very important that you understand that Jesus is not an American like we are. He does not operate under a constitutional republic like we do. He is a king. What he says goes. If you like it, great. If you don't like it, it ain't bothering him. He's not going to lose sleep over because you don't like the way his kingdom's set up. I challenge you this, go find a better one. You will not find a better kingdom. You'll find a religion that'll let you go to hell. Oh, I want to get to that, but I got to wait. Bow your heads. Father, we love you. Can I tell you, sitting here today, that's why we always say, when we want you to meet Jesus, we don't want you to meet religion, and you're not going to become religious. But if you're here today and you've never surrendered your life to the King who loves you so much that he sent his own son from the king's throne into the earthly realm to die where you could have access back to his full kingdom while you're still alive on earth. It's called, in church terms, getting saved, being born again, being redeemed by Jesus Christ. And what it simply means is that you don't trust yourself no more than you trust. You just trust in Jesus. You have to admit that you cannot save yourself. You cannot pay for your own sins. And you can't enter heaven on your own good merits. But that Jesus did every bit of that just for you, so you would have this opportunity here today. So my friend, without any strings attached, you're not joining church today, God will plant you as he desires. That's in the Bible too. We would love for it to be here, but it doesn't have to be here. We just want you to get in the kingdom of God, and then he'll direct your paths if you're seeking. So no strings attached. You're not going to join church today, and we don't offer you religion today. We offer you your personal relationship and forgiveness of your sins through Jesus and his blood. And if that's you today, just lift your hand and say, today's my day. I want to accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Anyone? All right, maybe online. But today I hope we've just piqued your interest, maybe. And I don't think you can deny. You may not like some of the things I said about the, but you cannot deny the scriptures we just went through. The message that Jesus wanted in the earth, the reason he came from heaven to earth, is to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. For the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he tells us as his disciples to go preach the kingdom. Not the Baptist doctrine or the Assemblies doctrine or the Church of God doctrine or the Church of God of Prophecy doctrine or the Methodist doctrine or the Nazarene doctrine or the Catholic doctrine. Jesus is perfect doctrine and Jesus is perfect theology. And anything you try to add to that just gets in the way. So Father, today, would you just let us begin to see glimpse of your glory. And I pray that people actually take this message home and find the notes online or wherever they're at and begins to read through these scriptures this week. I want to challenge you to do that. Not because I'm preaching it. My prayer is, Lord, don't let me mess this up too bad where people can't get what I'm trying to do or what you're trying to do, not me. But I want to challenge you just to take these scriptures and just begin to pour over them and let the Holy Spirit reveal to you personally what the message and the purpose of Jesus Christ was to come back to earth to die for our sins. He wants you to live way above than what we're living now. He says you're above and you're not beneath. You're the head, you're not the tail. You are blessed and highly favored among men because you're a royal descendant of the King of Kings. So, Father, we just want to commit this week to pressing into your word and begin to put on a kingdom set of eyes instead of religious. And it'll shake us up. It'll start making us rethink some things and reevaluate our lives and our stands, but it's a good thing, Father. But Lord, my prayer is most of all, we land on the solid truth of your word with everything that goes forward. In Jesus' name, say, that's me. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give him praise.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.